it's harder for those parents, you know, and that's why they rush in, fix, do things for their kids that they know that they shouldn't, but they want things to go well. They don't want the kid to go through something difficult. But it's in the difficulties our young adults experience and what we experienced in our own emerging adulthood that helped us become strong and resilient and gritty.
Hello, you are listening to the Late Bloomer Living Podcast. I'm Yvonne Marchese, your host, and I'm so happy you're here. I created this podcast to give you inspiration and let you know you're not alone in feeling stuck in midlife. I also invite you to join the Age Agitators Club for Women, where we come together monthly to hatch our plans for making waves as we age. Being part of this community for women will remind you on a regular basis that you're not too old, and it's never too late to do that thing you've been thinking about. You can find more information at latebloomerliving.com/community, and I hope to see you there. Hello, my friend. If you're a parent, this episode is for you. You know how hard it can be. You also know how rewarding it can be. I always say it is the best and hardest thing I've ever done. I have two kids. And you know, when your kids are little, it's like it's like one of those tough mudder events. You know, the ones with the crazy obstacles that you've got to get through. It's like physically demanding and just plainly make you tired. And then as your kids get older, the challenges change, and you've probably heard the phrase, little kids, little problems, big kids, big problems. I'll tell you right now, when my kids were little, I was like, well, that's just condescending. But coming at it now that my kids are 17 and 20, I can see there's something to that. And maybe it's because as they get older, you have less and less control over how to help your kids when they are struggling. Especially once they turn 18 and are considered adults, your options become very limited then. Can I just tell you what a mind shift it was just to not be able to take my kid to the doctor or see his documents? It was like, whoa, where am I? Who am I? So anyway, I am so excited to bring our guest on today. Her name is Kim Minch. She is a Jai Institute for Parenting Certified Consciousness Parenting Coach and the founder of Real Life Parent Guide. She specializes in working with parents of emerging adults, ages 18 to 29. Kim has been on the podcast before. I interviewed her about her journey to becoming a Jai coach. And so I'll have a link to that previous episode in the show notes for you if you want to go back and hear her story on that. She's passionate about educating and supporting and encouraging her clients to parent with intention and guidance rather than fear and control, which I'm like, oh, that's a good one. She has five now adult children and years of coaching other parents under her belt. And I'm so excited to have her here to talk about what she's learned and what she knows and answer some of my burning questions. And I'm hoping they're your burning questions as well. Kim, thank you so much for being with me today.
I'm so excited to talk to you again, Yvonne. I really appreciate the opportunity to chat about my favorite topic.
Every time I come across one of your videos, I watch you on Instagram, but I think you're on TikTok as well, right?
Yes.
Oh. I love the way you talk to the camera, and I just feel like you're talking right to me, and I feel like you really get all of it.
Well, I really hear all of it day in and day out from parents. And you know, it's funny, every once in a while, I think I've heard everything, and then some parent will come to me with some kind of really extreme situation they're in with their young adult. And I'm like, I will then say, oh my gosh, I thought I've heard it all, but I guess not.
And then they're like, oh my gosh, I broke the mold.
Yeah. I don't know that that's a good thing, but every once in a while I do come across a family that has a struggle that is unique that I haven't really heard.
Yeah. What would you say you hear most often from parents?
I would say I'm in the midst right now of hearing multiple stories of young adult men between 18 and 25 who either went to college and failed out or didn't go to college at all, have high anxiety / depression, a lot of times sleeping all day, gaming all night. So they're escaping through gaming. Many of them smoke weed. I mean, that's kind of the, that would say that would be like my typical. I certainly have parents that reach out. They have daughters between 18 and mid 20s or late 20s that a mental health issue of some sort. The greatest challenge I think that parents come to me with is they've continued to try and parent as if their 20 something is in high school or in middle school. You know, they're still parenting as if they have a young adolescent. And it's not working. So they've got this, I'm the parent, you're the child dynamic going. And they're realizing very quickly, because a lot of times we were taught to parent, like there has to be a consequence. When the kid does something, there has to be some discipline / consequence. Mm-hmm. And a lot of parents equated that to punishment, right? We did. I mean, I'm guilty of the same thing. But discipline in and of itself is supposed to be related to whatever it is that happened, a learning lesson from that.
And if it's not punishment, like what would be an example of something that would be a consequence that isn't punishment for an action?
It might be, let's say your son got a speeding ticket and instead of pulling the car away, it might be doing a safe motor safety course with him online, with him. Or it might be taking him out and working more on keeping to the speed limit. It might be doing some more additional practice, right? Your adolescents are going to be prone to risky behaviors at times. It's part of the nature of growing up. And they're also, you know, going to not see around corners and understand the consequences of their actions. Because the last part of the brain to develop is the frontal lobe. And that's not until the mid 20s, at least, especially for boys. So instead of a parent internalizing, getting angry, getting punitive, we need to look at this like, okay, they either weren't ready for that privilege, or they're lacking some information that we need to teach more of. And so this is where we need to focus the energy when they're in their teens. When you have a 20-something, right, and they're living at home, and again, you're realizing you're staying in a dynamic. And the reason they're staying in the dynamic of parent is up here and child is up here or down here is because they're not taking responsibility for themselves. Okay, so you're staying in this dynamic simply because they're not stepping in and taking responsibility for themselves. So it keeps you in this dynamic.
Yeah. Do you find that this in this particular instance, is it most common that the child, should we call them children, even though they're young adults, maybe?
I would call them emerging adults.
Emerging adults. Okay. All right. So does the problem with this parenting dynamic of, you know, the parents in charge and the child is, you know, supposed to take discipline
direction,
and orders.
Do the thing. Yes.
Is it mostly something that comes into conflict when the, I'm just going to say child, because I don't know what else to say. When the emerging adult is living at home with the parent still, or do you see this kind of dynamic even when they're out on their own?
I'd say both, but it's definitely more pronounced if the kid's living at home. Mm-hmm. You know, if the kid's right there under the roof of mom and dad and they're not moving forward in their life. I mean, if an emerging adult is living at home, mm-hmm. and they are working full time and they are living at home to be able to save money to move out on their own, and they're pitching in at home and they're behaving more like a roommate, that all is going fine and well. It's when mom and dad are still doing too much and financially providing too much, and the young adult is stuck. They don't maybe know what they want to do with their future, and they're escaping through gaming. They're escaping through regular daily marijuana use. they're refusing therapy. There's a need that's being met, and it's too comfortable at home, quite frankly. And parents are afraid to push, especially the biggest thing they fear is, well, there's two things. The greatest thing they fear is potentially self-harm, especially if there's been a history of self-harm. The second thing is that the kid will grow up, leave the house, and cut them off. But it is not our job as parents to make life comfortable for an emerging adult. That's not to say we can't empathize with the world today being a scary place to become an adult in, like, for sure. But that's why we need to parent with them and not over them. How can we work together? And this is really what I want parents to understand, the shift that needs to take place during these, you know, late teens and certainly into the 20s is coming up alongside and parenting with them. This does not look like friendship. Ultimately, we hope that when our kids have, you know, launched themselves, that we will have a lifelong, more of a friendship relationship. But I don't know that we had ever, I mean, I still have a certain different respect for my mom, even though she is a very good friend of mine. I would also say that she's a very good friend. So that is ultimately where we want to get to. But during these years when they are working towards that and sometimes making unhealthy choices and making mistakes, it's our job to hold space while they do that and to support them where they're at, but not to do for them what they can and should be doing for themselves.
So hard. So what does it look like to manage that, to go from a top-down approach to parenting?
Well, if there is a problem, we have to set up some kind of situation. Let's just say it's a young adult who is living at home. They came home after college and they don't have a job. And I don't know, they're just kind of, they're applying here and there and whatnot, but they're not really moving ahead in their lives. It's about defining a problem. What is the problem? I'll talk with the parents. Okay, what is the problem? And then sitting down with the emerging adult and saying, there's a problem. Not we have a problem. And this is really an important distinction, because if you say to your emerging adult, we have a problem, they will likely say, I don't have a problem. You have a problem. This is not my problem. So I know it's a weird, like, tweak on words, but I want parents to think about defining it. There's a problem. And the problem is, then the parent needs to take ownership of their part in it. I've made things very comfortable around here because I was feeling bad that you weren't becoming employed as fast as possible. At this point, we need to work together to move you into employment. How can I best support you in this? Instead of, you need to get a job. You just need to get your butt out there and get any job that you can get right now, because, you know, this is not helpful or productive to your emerging adult. It's the kind of thing that if they acquiesce and they do get off their butt and they go get a job, that could ultimately one day turn to that kid that says, you know, my dad, like, didn't have any, my mom or dad didn't have any empathy for me and just kicked me in my ass. And I don't really want to have a relationship with them. They never really understood me. So it's about working with them where they're at while also pushing them towards what needs to be done. And I think one of the greatest challenges for parents right now is that so many young adults are struggling with a mental health issue, and they just don't know how hard to push.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break here so I can tell you about an awesome resource that I think you're going to love. Here's the thing. We are always works in progress. Do you find yourself wondering, what do I want to be when I grow up? If so, then I think you're going to want to subscribe to We're All Getting Older, which is a weekly newsletter written by Lou Blazer that's all about continuing to grow and get better in the second half of our lives. I get so much benefit from reading Lou's newsletter every week, and I think you will too. She writes the newsletter for midlifers who believe in getting better as we get older and making the most of life's second half. Her newsletter was previously called Midlife Cues, but it does have a shiny new name, and I love it. We're all getting older. So if you want to subscribe to that, it is on Substack, and you can easily find a link to subscribe at loublaser.com. That's loublaser.com. And now, back to our regularly scheduled programming. So how do you set the boundaries that are, I mean, that's the first thing that I'm thinking of, is that I guess you've got to set boundaries. Like, you've got, do you say, okay, you need, you know, I guess I'm falling into that thing. You need to have a job by such and such a time, or you need to contribute.
It's about, and I have done videos, longer videos on this than what's on social media, and have come up with a family living agreement. If you have a young adult living at home or coming home for an extended summer from college, this would be a good thing too. Mm-hmm. But sitting down together, parents deciding before sitting down with the emerging adult where they are not willing to negotiate, one or two things that they are not willing to be flexible on, and then working with the emerging adult through the rest of it, what it looks like for chores, what it looks like. And part of it too is the way parents are presenting this. When you sound like you're trying to control the emerging adult, they're pushing back, right? This, they still feel like they're in this higher, lower hierarchy, you know, dynamic. Mm-hmm. It's about just, you know, this is the expectation. We're all part of a family, and you're now really more of a roommate, and I wouldn't accept this kind of behavior from a roommate. So this is why I believe and am holding you to doing these things. Or like I said, it's really more about sitting down together and giving them options and choices and buy in where you can, so they are invested in it. Because if you just sit down and give a kid a contract and say, this is the way it's going to be, you're going to have nothing but power struggles.
Mm. Wow. Mm. It can be so hard and so tricky. What about, now you mentioned like one of the common scenarios that you are seeing is young men who are gaming and probably smoking pot. What if you really are seeing like a substance abuse problem, if there's alcohol, that, you know, there you're seeing things that are indicating some alcohol problems. What do you do in those cases?
Well, and okay. So I hear what you're saying. And some of when I talk to parents, it is about figuring out, is this red flag behavior? Is this a place where he or she could potentially stop smoking on their own, or do they need help? Will they need help to stop this, you know, alcohol or whatever it is that they're doing? And then it's about the parent, you know, there's this conflicting thing in the parent, like, actually, let me take a step back. Between moms and dads, often there's a conflicting situation. Let's say we have a young adult who definitely has a couple of DUIs, smoking pot every day in the house, even though the parents are, you know, telling him not to, all of that is going on. Mom sees the need for this kid to get help, either outpatient or inpatient, but need to get help. Dad typically is the one who will say, you know, they're not going to get help until they want help. So we're really stuck. I don't believe you're really stuck in that situation. And they also, by the way, will say, we're not throwing our kid out of the house. Okay. You're not throwing your kid out of the house. And quite frankly, I think that is the last thing, as someone who was asked to leave her family home at 18 and pregnant, I would say it is the last thing a parent should go to, unless parents themselves are afraid of physical violence and abuse. So I am not of an advocate of just throw your kid out of the house. That is not it. Mm-hmm. However, there can be, if parents can get to the same page, and that sometimes is what needs to take place.
Yeah.
If they come to a place of, you know, you need treatment in order to continue to stay here, you need to either start to see a therapist or you know, we need to go get a psychological evaluation. We need, you know, whatever it is. And every family is a little bit different about what is needed. So I try not to, you know, parents want to know, well, how do I fix this? They'll ask me in comments, and it's way too
nuanced and
personal. Like there's a lot of threads. There's a lot of threads that go on in the work that I do. However, the way it's treated is individual to the family. There's no one pat answer. It does take consistent messaging from parents, confidence in their parenting, and calmness as they're delivering that message.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where parents, you know, their fear, because they're parenting from this anxious chatter in their head, their fear is getting in the way of them doing anything. They're quite frankly just as frozen as their young adult who is afraid to grow up. So they're in this unhealthy dynamic. And I tell parents, your kid is not just going to wake up one day and be like, oh, you know what? I've had enough. I think I'm going to move ahead in my life. It is going to take parents looking within themselves, deciding where they're enabling the situation, what they're contributing to this unhealthy pattern, and starting with themselves to make changes. Because when parents change, the dynamic will change. We can't guarantee the kid is going to do exactly what we want them to
do. Can you say that again? When parents change,
when
the
parents
dynamic
change,
will change?
The dynamic will change. We cannot predict that the young adult will do exactly as you want them to. However, it will not stay in this comfort zone that they're in right now. Because here's the thing. Emerging adults who are afraid to move forward or don't have a direction or whatever, they're just kind of stuck and frozen. It's easier for them to get angry at and project their feelings onto their parents, who then hold, you know, they're super anxious and they're, you know, rather than look at themselves and start working on themselves. It's much more comfortable to project it onto the safety of our parents who are going to love us unconditionally.
So before we hit the record button, we were talking about boundaries, and you were talking about a nuance on setting boundaries. Can you go into that again a little bit?
Yeah. So I talk with parents about there's a shift that needs to take place during the late teens. I mean, you know your son or daughter best. So I would say it's somewhere during, you know, senior year in high school, or certainly somewhere along that progression after, where you are no longer going to try and set boundaries around their behavior, but look at boundaries as if you have to set some personal boundaries for yourself. How are you going to show up in the relationship with this emerging adult at this point? What are you willing to do? What are you willing to provide?
Okay.
As opposed to telling them all the time what they need to be doing, you need to decide, I am no longer going to provide your shampoo, your laundry soap, your, you know what I'm saying? Like, you are inviting them in incrementally to take responsibility for their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You are no longer going to do for them some of the things that you have been doing, because they can and should be doing them themselves. And when I talk to parents, it's really about figuring out, what is your son or daughter capable of? What are they capable of? What skills might they be missing? Because young adults do not like to ask for help. Picking up a phone and making a phone call might make them super anxious, but they would never tell you that because maybe they don't know how to do it, or they don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
So the parent recognizing this, we'll sit down and say, let's write out a script so that you literally can read it. So what skills is your emerging adult not have that they need that and maybe you can step in and teach them?
Yeah. How
so
do you get,
they
have
can
that conversation if they're not willing to ask for help? Like, I guess you have to really be tuned in to even know, oh, they're scared to make a phone call. Like, how do you open up that part? Just that simple conversation to say, hey, you need to call and set something up, or you need to, you know, follow up. Let's say, you know, they've put in a, an application for employment, but they haven't followed up on it, or, you know, and, or you've asked and it's like, well, did you follow up? No, why not? Is that,
I would be curious. I would say, hey, I'm noticing that when you apply and then you don't necessarily take the time to follow up. And I'm curious if maybe it's because you don't know what to say if, when you're calling back. I'd love to help you figure that out so that you don't get stuck in the process of this.
Yeah. And then I guess you'd say, you know, are you willing to help? Are you willing to sit down with me and we can,
is this a way that mom can support you? Is this a way that dad can support you? And again, all of this, sometimes the first thing that parents need to do when I start working with them is to redevelop some kind of connection with their kid. Because quite frankly, a lot of times when I'm working with parents, it's gotten to such a contentious place in the home that there is no relationship. There is no connection. Yeah. And so before you can implement some of these things, these boundaries and whatnot, at times you have to reestablish a relationship with your kid.
There's got to be trust, right?
Right. Or you know, there's got to be some kind of buy-in. Buy-in is the one, is the word that keeps coming to my mind, but connection. You don't have to be, you know, like this, but you have to have some rapport with this young adult aside from telling them or lecturing them all the things they're not doing they need to get doing.
Yeah.
They have to, you know, whether it's, we're going to have a, and I've done this before with parents, their kid is going to, the son loves to cook. And so he was willing, because we were all, I had mom, dad, and son in the call. He was willing to make dinner on the busiest night of the week because both mom and dad work. He's 19. He failed out of school. He's home, right? So he is willing, because he loves to cook, to make dinner on Wednesday nights. But part of that is that, and he gets to decide what to make. Mom's going to do the grocery shopping. He'll do the cooking and the cleanup. But part of that is they cannot talk about anything that he is not doing. There can be no conversation about what he hasn't done this week, how he didn't get up on time, none of that. Just connection.
That sounds like, oh, okay, great. It's hard.
Yeah.
I've got a 17-year-old and he's at that point where he's got to be applying or at least looking at schools, right? He's got a lot of project work and I can see, you know, he's such a smart kid and he's so talented, but he's just like, you're just like, so I have to hold myself back sometimes, like quite literally, like if somebody's holding my shoulders back to not say, did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do that? Did you do that? Oh my gosh. I'm like, Yvonne, you've got to stop nagging.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just, you know, but parents too are sometimes just as, I want to put a plug in here for young people as well, just by saying my daughter gave me a link to apply for her. She's going to be in an apartment in the fall and I need to fill out because I got to guarantee her apartment, right? Mm-hmm. She probably gave me that link a week ago. And, you know, I'm not always as timely as she's already mentioned to it at least once and she knows how busy I am. And I know she's not saying it. I know she'd really like me to do it. So parents, check yourselves as well. You know, we're always so on the mark about what these kids need to be doing and, you know, why they aren't, there's so much potential in them. They're just wasting it and all the things. I'd like you to remind you that you probably don't get to things right exactly when you want to either. It's, you know, I know it seems absolutely critical, and sometimes it is, but a lot of times it's not.
Yeah. I can see myself doing it, Kim. I can totally see myself doing it. You know, it's like, okay, I'm gonna have dinner with him tonight, and I'm not gonna bring up anything that he needs to do.
Well, and parents will say this. Parents, they'll say, I barely see the kid because he's in his room almost 24 hours a day, or he sleeps all day and then is up all night, and I'm working during the day. And so we never see each other. So, of course, the second I see him, I have to pounce and like say all the things that,
Right.
and I understand that. That makes a lot of sense, but you're also not helping your relationship with them. And sometimes they dig their heels in simply because there's no connection with you. All they
Yeah.
hear from you is where they're not getting it right and where
Would it be
they're
a good
not.
idea to put to set up a date night with your kid or something like that? Just get something on the calendar. Like in that case, I can totally see
Absolutely.
where that happens. And you're like, I've got to talk to them now because there's just no other time to talk to them. So
Yes.
is that a good idea then? Like set up
Yes,
some date
I
nights
think it's a
with your
good idea.
kids.
And if your kid has no, you might have to go to your, and I, this is how the cooking for the family came about, part of it. And this was not just one conversation. This took a while. Like, when you're so disconnected from your kid, it takes some time to have them, want to come back, to you. But I say to parents, maybe ask them what they would be willing to just spend a little bit of time with you doing once a week. And you might have to play that video game. I wouldn't know how to do it, but you could at least watch, like be in the same space, like, and it or, if they're willing to take a walk, whatever it is, meet them where they're at. But you might want to just suggest to them, or might just want to say, and this is hard for parents to do because it puts them in a vulnerable position. Hey, I noticed that we've gotten really disconnected. And I would love to spend just a little bit of time with you, maybe once a week. Is there anything you'd be willing to do with me? Could we go to lunch on Saturdays? Could we bake cookies together? I don't, like whatever it is
Yeah.
that you maybe used to do with your kid that connected you, suggest that or say. Simply say, like, I just want to spend some time with you. And I think that we've gotten off course.
Yeah. Should you
And
in the middle of that offer or that suggestion, even say, hey, I find that we're passing ships in the night, and so I feel like every time I talk to you, it's about things that have to get done or concerns that I have, and I want time with you that is just about hanging out. And
for sure.
I promise not to
For
nag you
sure.
during that time. There's a no nag promise during that
Yes,
time.
for sure. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm not saying the kid's going to jump for joy. You might have to suggest this a couple of times before that they, because you've gotten to a point in the relationship where again, it's super disconnected. And I don't know that your 22-year-old son is just going to be like, oh, okay, mom, let's, especially if it's really bad. So you might have to humble yourself and a couple of times ask for the same thing. And I absolutely agree with you, Yvonne, suggesting during that time, this is not a time for me to, this is going to be a time for us to just reconnect. I promise you that I
Yeah,
will not.
and
And
if you
don't
catch me
you
doing it.
dare, and don't you dare violate that. Do not do it because you will break that trust. Whatever trust you're beginning to rebuild with this kid is going to be immediately broken if you slip, if you even if you like a couple of times you do it and things are going well, and then you're like, oh, I can probably just say something now. They are going to know that you, and then they're going to think you invested just as much time to then, pounce on them and do the thing that you said you would never do. So don't do it.
I love it. I'm looking at the time and I can't believe it. This is a topic that we could go on and on, right?
Yes.
Oh
It
my
is. It
goodness.
is. And it's, it's hard for parents. I don't think there's been a lot of talk up until now about parenting this 18 to 25, 29. And let me just qualify emerging adult based on Jeffrey Jensen Arnett's work. He's a psychologist that wrote the book called Emerging Adulthood. The reason that we're calling it emerging adulthood, and why it's 18 to say 25 or 29 is adulthood is really when they're both physically and financially independent. And these days, with this generation, they're typically about 5 years behind where we were as Gen X, launching, getting to that place. They are in school longer for whatever reason, whether it's finances or not getting the right classes or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. They're getting married later. They're having children later. Mm-hmm. So the hallmark of adulthood is being both physically and financially independent. And that is being pushed out because of all sorts of reasons.
And that is a mind shift for anybody who is, let's just call it Gen X, who, you know, I was married at 22, you know, first marriage, I'll say. I was married at 22 and out the door and off to a different town from where my different state from where my parents lived. And that was it, you know? So I guess, you know, if you're comparing yourself and your situation to your kids, then that like doubles, triples the maybe the judgment factor on them or.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And parents do that all the time. Parents do that all the day. They compare where they were at this age to where their kids are. And I mean, that's understandable. And I'm not suggesting that parents need to foot the bill for an extra 5 years for their kid. I'm simply saying it's a slower process. Mm-hmm. And some of these kids are getting stuck in the process of that. So
and it's an actual generational trend. Like,
I think it was starting before the pandemic, but I think the pandemic has exacerbated this for a lot of that generation.
Really interesting.
Period. I think it has. So it's parents taking a step back and readjusting, but not enabling.
Yeah. Tricky, right? What are some resources that you would recommend to parents right now? Some maybe something that could get them started down the road to repairing a relationship or helping their emerging adult?
Yeah. The number one book that I recommend parents read, and I've gone back and forth with the author, is Failure to Launch by Dr. Mark McConville. And Failure to Launch is an excellent book. I don't like the title of it. I quite frankly would rather call this group of young adults who are struggling Lost in Place, as opposed to Failure to Launch. Because to me, Failure to Launch sounds like it's so final.
It does sound
lost
final,
in place,
doesn't it?
Yeah. Lost in Place makes me feel like, okay, if they're lost, they can be found.
Yeah.
We can help them, you know, be found. That's just my, you know, my thought process on it. But Failure to Launch is a good one if you are really, really struggling with a young adult. If you're not, and you're having a decent relationship with your young adult, but you see the changes that need to be made, You and Your Adult Child by Dr. Lawrence Steinberg is another really excellent book.
Great to know. Great to know. It is my goal to have a good, solid relationship with my kids, you know, I want them to be able to talk to me. It's like, okay, it's so tricky. It's tricky to go from a parent who is involved and, you know, doing all the things for their kids to then going, okay, hands off. It's all, you know, it's up to them now.
Yes. It's about a loss of control. And depending on how much the parent was controlling, it's harder for those parents. And that's why they rush in, fix, do things for their kids that they know that they shouldn't, but they want things to go well. They don't want the kid to go through something difficult, but it's in the difficulties our young adults experience and what we experienced in our own emerging adulthood that helped us become strong and resilient and gritty. And
it
that
is
what
to remember
we need
that,
to allow.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's your heart walking out, you know, it's your heart out in the world, walking around. And, it, you know, you just watch them struggle and it's like, oh, but I know, you know, my sophomore in college, I know that he's hit some down points and I'm like, okay, he's going to figure it out. He's going to figure it out.
You know? And that's where the strength comes from. When your kid is going through something difficult, it is hard for you because you are also growing. If you allow that experience to, you know, hold back, believe that they can handle it, believe that they have the ability, and that's the greatest, that's the hardest thing for a parent to do.
Yeah. And I think too, what I try to do, especially with my kiddo in college, is just let him know that I believe he's got it in him to work
yes.
through it. That
Yeah.
I don't need to get involved. I'm here for you if you want to talk, but
yeah.
I know you got this, and I know you're going to figure it out. You know,
yes.
So hard. How can people get in touch with you if they want to get more of the information from you or work with you? What's the best way to get
Sure.
in touch with you?
They can visit my website, which is reallifeparentguide.com. And if they are on Instagram or TikTok, they can see my videos daily at Kim Minch Parent Coach.
Cool. And Minch is spelled Muench, right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay, cool. Just want to make sure, because I know that it can be tricky for anybody listening. And for anybody listening, just know that I'm going to have a bunch of this stuff that we've talked about in the show notes for you. So if you're driving right now, don't worry. Just go back to the show notes and I'll get you connected to Kim. Kim, thank you so much for coming back to the podcast.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Thank you for letting me talk about my favorite topic.
Well, there you have it, my friend. Parenting is just no joke, right? I guess the answer is there are no easy answers. But what I do love about Kim's approach is the idea that we need to make adjustments as our kids move into young adulthood. I hope you pulled something from this episode that you can take it and run with it. And if nothing else, maybe that's taking care of yourself. I think what I'm taking from this for myself is the idea that as my kids become more and more independent, I am going to have to learn how to pull back on the momming. I am going to have to learn how to stand and supportively watch as they make their own mistakes. I guess that's what it's all about, right? We all got to make our own mistakes and hopefully learn from them. On that note, hey, I will say Mother's Day is coming up soonish. Two things I want to say about that. May 8th and May 15th, I have a two-part Mother's Day series planned because those are the Wednesdays sandwiching Mother's Day. So I'm real excited about those episodes. Stay tuned. And here's a little gift idea for you to hint at for your husband or your kids. I have a book I wrote called In Full Bloom, A Guide to Aging Playfully. And it really does make the perfect little gift, I'm gonna say. So drop a hint, subtle or not so subtle, and get a copy of my book. It's something that you can keep on your nightstand, your dressing table, your desk. It's filled with beautiful flowers and positive thoughts about aging. It's a pick-your-own-adventure book. You can open it any day to a random page and see if you can pick up a little inspiration for your day. So there you go. And hey, I highly recommend following Kim Minch on social media. She's pretty active in Instagram and on TikTok. I'll have links for you in the show notes. And if you're going through something tough right now, and you know it happens to all of us, she might be a really good resource for you directly. So I'll have links in the show notes where you can connect with her. Just go to latebloomerliving.com/podcast and look for episode 182. And that's it, my friend. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a fantastic week. Stay safe and well. Talk soon.